it up, ladies and gentlemen. Portal Gaming Podcast, episode 125. That's 5 cubed. Howdy, everybody. Portal Gaming Podcast, a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. You can find more information at www.timemachineportal.com. You can find us on Facebook, The Portal, and on Twitter, at PortalGaming60, because this is a podcast brought to you by a store called The Portal, which is located in Manchester, Connecticut. I am your host for this shorter episode, and with me is your co-host,
Brian.
And this episode, Brian, we have moved over from Star Wars titles to MCU titles, or Marvel titles,
right.
And it took me no time whatsoever.
Oh.
The title for this episode is, I can do this all day. Because we're talking about International Tabletop Day, which is 24 hours, and that is the quote from Captain America, for anybody who hasn't seen the Marvel movies or whatever, but that's kind of one of his famous quotes. In terms of that. So, there you go. I thought that was perfect. It was no work on my part to find that title. So, that was exciting.
So, it was a good time to switch over then.
Yeah, it was great. It was well-timed for all that. So, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
Good. How's prepping at the store going?
Yeah, it's going. I mean, we're definitely heading into a slower season for sales, you know, across the board.
When
we're talking The Portal and Time Machine. But, yeah, I mean, there's still always something to be done. It's looking like we're really going to have to focus on inventory now, so all that fun stuff.
Yeah,
if people haven't been there, I mean, it's definitely a big hurdle to get over.
So. Are you talking about Time Machine or Portal or both?
Both.
Okay.
So, quite a bit.
Yeah.
But, yeah, besides that, everything's going, you know, going fine.
Nice. Awesome. Well, I think we'll just kind of jump into talking about International Tabletop Day, because that's the big thing. So International Tabletop Day is coming up this Saturday. So it is June 1st, and it is from midnight to midnight, which is the entirety of Saturday. In fact, you can come to F&M, you can play games during F&M, or participate in Friday Night Magic, and then just roll right into International Tabletop Day, if you prefer. And then at midnight on Saturday, we will remove everyone from the store, so especially the people who've been there all 24 hours can clean up and go to bed.
Yeah, so it definitely wraps up.
Yeah, there's no lingering on that end. But, hey, 24 hours straight playing games. So what other info can you give us? What will be going on? What will be happening that people should know about?
Yeah, so we were kind of cleaning up a bit, trying to get everything organized. So we have a ton of promos that we've gathered over the past few years. So those can just, you know, come in, grab some promos for games that you love. Along with that, we've got a bunch of demo games that had been used. And, like, you know, we're trying to get people to try them out, do some play-to-wins with those, as well as raffle them off over the course of the day. You know, along with that, there are, like, play mats and different, like, you know, different event kits and stuff like that that will kind of raffle off as well. And we have a few games that we'll just kind of have open for people to try out. Like, some of the ones that jumped out were, like, Fast Track, The Table is Lava, Roll For It, Ice Cool, some of those things where we've got, you know, a little bit more than just, like, standard fare on that. So we can kind of give out some of those games and just, you know, have people try some stuff that's relatively easy to hop into and is fun to play. I know it's always a tough balance to try to figure out, like, you know, hey, should we schedule all these tournaments and have people try to commit to these time slots? But it usually amounts to the day being a little bit more open for people to just play games, and we don't want it to be too stressful on that front either.
Yeah.
I know as soon as you kind of incentivize people to win, it shifts the mentality, in my, at least in my mind, like it changes from, hey, let's just play and have fun, to I need to beat you.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it should be a good day. I know, let's see, there should be some other stuff. Hopefully we'll get another Code Games going on.
That'd be really fun.
Yeah.
That's great.
And then, like, you know, I'm trying to put together some stuff for, like, you know, Word Slam, like, you know, some board game stuff to have people try to, you know, give out clues for, maybe
something
try to,
like,
highlight
kind of up near the register or on a counter or something, kind of like
possibly, or just have some sheets with, like, board game titles instead of the standard words that you're trying to get people to guess.
Yep.
And I think it would be kind of cool just to kind of, you know, have people give out, like, what their, how they got to the title, you know? So, like, maybe do something for, like, the best assortment of Word Slam cards that gave you the correct answer, or something
Right.
So, but yeah, it should be a good day. I mean, I'll be there the 24 hours, and nice. It should be, it definitely gets long at the end, but it's still fun. You know, it's not like I'm exhausted and just doing it for that that state. So
yeah, no, you usually do pretty well. Till the end.
There are definitely like moments, peaks and valleys, you know. But that's just how it is, and it's a great turnout. I mean, hopefully, like, I know it's a little later this year, which, you know, we'll see how it goes. I mean, I know we've got a decent bit for, like, you know, like, a lot of other places are doing stuff, too. Like, Tabletop Shop has a good crew for their, like,
yeah, they're doing, like, the scheduled events, like, and tournaments and all that kind of
stuff. So, I'm excited just to kind of get, you know, get some new people into the hobby and just try stuff out and play games.
Yeah, it is interesting. Like, they were talking about it on Dice Tower, and Tom Vassell was saying how, like, it's not really being pushed and promoted because it really was like Will Wheaton's Tabletop, and then they were getting promos, and there was of course, like, the famous year where we got like six of a promo, and, you know, 100 people came for that promo. And then you just, in the opposite thing, like you said, you're trying to run tournaments, a raffle that nobody thinks is fair, and it's awesome, but it should also be just a celebration of the hobby. Like, it's not really a holiday. It's just a day to say, like, hey, we'll be open for 24 hours.
Yeah.
Come play some of your favorite games, or, you know, like, more people will be there. The other part, like you said, if you start having a lot of regulars or scheduling a lot of your regulars into tournaments and running things, then as people come in, they're like, who can I play with? And it's like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm booked from 10 to 11:30 p.m., like, you know, 10 a.m. to 11:30 p.m., but I hope he finds a way to play with. It'll be really fun. But if you kind of just keep it open, like, who's around? Let's play a game.
Yeah,
so.
And there's totally a spot for that, too. It's just, there's a lot more, like, you can do it the wrong way a lot easier than doing it the right way. And just having it open for people to try stuff, like, I think that really gets it to give that, like, that feel of just come and play.
Yeah.
So.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know that necessarily Eric wants us to, like, announce that he's there or that he's playing with everybody, but Eric Summer is coming and is going to be playing games. I don't know when. He's bringing his two sons. But he's planning on being there a significant portion of the day.
Nice.
So that should be fun, and he'll be there, and he's very laid back.
Yeah.
He's pretty casual, so he'll just be around. But if you've never met him, that's kind of fun for people. And, you know, he lives in this area, so
yeah.
I've been conversing with him. I think we are locked into one game of Chronicles of Crime.
Okay, nice.
Because I have to review Noir, and he hasn't played Chronicles of Crime. So I think that's the one, like, we're going to be doing that. But other than that, we'll see in terms of all that, so. That should be fun. And other than that, yeah, just a bunch of... You know, I was considering bringing Battle Masters. Have you ever seen Battle Masters?
You talk about it all the time.
I do. You know what it is?
A two-player giant
playmat. Yeah, you put a mat on the ground. I just don't know where to not be in the way.
Wow, how big? How much space does
it take?
I think
it's a 3x3-foot mat or 4x4.
So it's in, like, the back room or something?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not like... gigantic, but it's definitely not small in terms of all that. So I might bring that because that could be pretty fun, and that you can play teams of two pretty easy, even though it's like 1v1.
Yeah,
you can have two people because you're just moving, and it's an old Milton Bradley GW like crossover.
Did you bring it up to the store like years ago?
I don't know. I played it at VonnerCon.
Okay,
so maybe you've seen it there before. I actually have Jeff's copy, not mine anymore, because mine kicked the bucket.
Yeah.
So I just thought that might be a fun thing that people don't see otherwise. And again, it leaves it open for, like, oh, just take my spot. You draw some cards, you roll some dice. It's fun, you know, in terms of all that and whatnot. So I thought something like that might be cool. I don't know, other than that, you know, just trying to play some of the stuff. I think, you know, there's a couple games I'd like to get in of new stuff, but there's also things that just, like, hey, these are some of my favorites. You know, I've been thinking a lot about, like, what are my favorite games from the last 10 years? Like, not even, like, 20... You know, people always do these things where they're trying to pull, like, the diamond in the rough from 25 years ago, or, like, here's a game nobody's ever heard about, and it's really old. And that's fine, but I'm just trying to think about, like, what games am I still playing that are in the last 10 years that would have been in my top 10 games, and they're still consistently coming out? You know, like, Castell. Just, I loved that game from last year, and I want to keep playing that game. And just stuff like that, that I just want to keep, like, Madeira is one of those games I just want to keep getting played, and whatnot. I'm looking at Hansa Teutonica, like, that's a great game, or Trajan just came out again. Just trying to get some of these games, not even back to table, like, I had played them, you know, a bunch right. of years, and they do stand the test of time, and whatnot.
Well,
you know,
yeah, like, some do. Play those.
Right, and some just don't.
Yeah.
Some seemed great at the time. I mean, famously, Terraforming Mars. I remember fighting with you over Great Western Trail and Terraforming Mars that year, which are both in the top 10 games of all time right. on BGG. So whatever. But I haven't played Terraforming Mars like much right. since 2016. So it's just funny. You know, I'm not any against it and whatnot, but that's just interesting. So anything else tabletop day wise?
No, I don't think.
Cool.
Nothing jumps out. So
this episode should be out Thursday or Friday if you're listening to this. So it's the Saturday coming up.
If it's Friday, then just drive right up.
That's right. Yeah, if you're listening to it, then that's that puts a little pressure on me. it's fine. So we have all that. Cool. So I think what we'll do, kind of for the episode here, is just talk about some games we've been playing and then review a couple games at the end.
Yeah.
And it's just a little shorter episode because we have a lot of things to do between now and then to make sure we're ready for tabletop day. So we're not going to sit around and review games. Hopefully we'll get a bunch played. So recently I have been replaying some games that I believe I reviewed. I played Raccoon Tycoon a couple times again. I played it three player. There's kind of a basic mode in there. So we were able to play with Kathy and Zephra. It's kind of like a family game at the table after dinner. And it went really well because the mechanisms are really simple. So the game just kind of keeps moving. You take a short action. And then I played it. Basically, you remove the buildings that are in the game. So your money just solely goes towards auctions. And then I played again with five people. It was long, like getting everybody through it, everybody doing their calculations. And with five people, it was funny. It felt a little bit like one or two of us were just behind and there just wasn't a way. Like, I tried to just get a lot of money and use my money to, like, close the gap in points, but it just didn't. Like, people just, with five people, there's always somebody to outbid me till I finally ran them all out of money, but there was only so many railroads left. I got right. them all, but it just wasn't enough points to close the gap, so. But it was really fun. Everybody enjoyed it. It's just a fun economic game. What it does cleverly is that you play cards that are like, oh, you produce these resources and you just get them, so you don't pay for them. And then their value just goes up and down. And so, hey, I can either sell these for three apiece, or if I can get their value up, they're seven apiece. So it's just what value they have, but it's not like, oh, I might lose money, which is fine, but that just becomes a lot more cutthroat, right? Like, I bought them at this price, and now I have to wait to sell them at this price. It doesn't do that, so it's just kind of a friendly... I mean, I guess I would call it a family economic game, even with the auction in there and whatnot. But it's definitely like family and not kids, you know,
right.
in terms of all that. So,
was that this year's? That wasn't last year, was it? I forget.
No, I'm pretty sure it's this year.
Okay.
Was it at Gen Con? I think that was just the other one, right? Railroad
I think so.
Rivals.
Yeah.
And this one came out like earlier this year. So, yeah, it's funny. We've been a little bit, I'm a little bit in that spot where it's like, there's not a lot in 2019 that I'm just like, woo, I can't wait. But I know it's all coming.
Right.
You just don't know what it is. So it just feels like, you know.
Just in limbo for that.
Yep. Played Demon Worker again. Played Beta Colony again. I really like both of those games. Beta Colony's moving up. It's really fun. It's really clever. I'm going to review this with Kathy. But we played Heart of Crown Fairy Garden. And I just adore Heart of Crown. It's one of my favorite deck builders. It's really, really good. It's one of those games that thematically pushes people away because it's like anime princesses. So similar to how people talk about Rococo and Predaporter and all those games where it's like, I don't want to make dresses and all that. It's like, I don't want to back princesses, but it's so good. The game is so good. I love a deck builder where you have to build your deck and then take it apart. And that's what this game does. So it's really fun. To do that. What's that little one with all the animals? Dale of Merchants does okay. that.
Yeah.
What's the one we played, like, the first game at our first Gen Con at Subway?
Valley of the Kings.
Valley of the Kings does that. So I just think that's really clever. You and I played San Juan.
Yeah, that was better than I remembered. I don't know. It had been a while. Maybe it was just because it was, like, in the midst. I don't know. I guess I'd been playing a lot of Race for the Galaxy at that point. So it was trying to, like, force its way in at that point. But it was just so fast, right? We played it quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we played two-player, and two-player felt fine. Like, it's got a little... You take two... First player takes two actions, second player takes one, and you just kind of go back and forth. And it's clever. It is funny how it's just in that vein of Race for the Galaxy and all those. And it's, like, lower difficulty than Race, higher than Jump Drive. I feel like I like Jump Drive better than it just because that pace is so good. The only one negative to Jump Drive is probably when you play two-player, somebody just wins outright. Like, it's just over. But it's so fast. You know, you're making those decisions. It's cool. And we played Heroes of Land, Air, and Sea three-player. That was the strangest game I've played of that yet. I think you've only played two.
I have.
It was like three-player. We didn't battle each other. We didn't build towers. It was very like whatever we're doing. Then all of a sudden it was like, oh, I can produce all my units and end the game. And then we like battled like just a little bit, just for a couple points. And it was interesting on that front. But I like the game. It's just it's a much more experience than like score points and figure it out. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I need to try it at two, just to see. I don't know. I don't really feel the need to play it at a larger player count very often. I guess.
Yeah.
You know, it was brought out like you wanted to play it because you wanted Jeff to play it.
Yep.
So I didn't mind. I wasn't like gonna walk away and not play that game. It definitely wouldn't have been my first choice, but it was fine.
And we flew through it.
Yeah,
if it was maybe not a half with setup and rules.
Faster than Tyrants of the Underdark.
Somebody else was playing Tyrants of the Underdark, and we played it faster than that. Which, that one I'm excited, because I got the new decks.
Yeah, the expand...
Which are like 2 years old, but I finally got them.
So, not a new one.
And then the last one that we have, like, Kickstarter copies in at the store is Thunderstone Quest.
Yeah.
And getting the Kickstarter copies in reminded me how much I like this game. And so I played it again with Kathy, and it was great. It's just cool because it's thematic in that it's a deck-building dungeon crawl. It's so different from Clank, because Clank is just like, make your deck work and move through the dungeon. Like, movement is important, and put the things... But this one is really like a dungeon crawl. Figure out how you can get enough power and weapons and heroes to go fight these enemies. And you pick village or dungeon. And then once you commit to one, then you have to decide what am I want to do in the village, because there's like bonuses, and who do I want to fight in the dungeon. So you have to like think out those paths, which I enjoy, because that makes it kind of a Euro feel in terms of, well, like, because you know, there's nothing unknown.
Right.
There's a few cards that say roll a die when you attack them, so you have to like prep for that. But I'm just saying, you know, I have this much strength if I move through here, but you have to figure out like your path, and am I going to have all the resources I need.
I think I made that face because I was trying to figure out if that felt like a Euro to me.
But, I mean, I guess it's just that tactical planning is what I'm really talking about. I'm not Euro, you're right, no. But I like that. However, the one part is, I know you've only played that four player. It can slow to a crawl with that. So, kind of like Underwater Cities, I feel like I would just play that game with two or three.
Does it still feel like the same game? Like... Wait. Maybe, so like two-player versus four-player. Four-player is slow, you said. But does two-player play the same sort of feeling? It's just a faster game?
I think it's slower because you still have to kill as many monsters, but it's just a two-player, although I guess you're building your
decks faster. You're doing a lot more.
Right. So you get to do a lot more of the power. And it's funny because like, I had turns where it was like, I have 16 power, which will generally kill a bigger enemy. But if you don't have all the things, like, oh, when you move through this space, because you kind of have to crawl down the dungeon, oh, you have to discard a hero. Well, now I'm going to be down to 13 power. And then, oh, when you go here, you need light. I don't have light. You need light on your cards, a lantern or a token. So even with your 16 power, you're like, ah, okay, I'm going to kill this stupid plant like that has 5 health. So just you got to plan all the things out, you know, and make your deck work and in terms of that.
I wonder how many games...
Here's fun.
How many games have you taught me, and it played out to be the worst game that you played of that particular one. Like, I feel like that was where it was at. Yeah. But I guess it wasn't so bad where I'm kind of like, I'm remembering it in that way. Like, I saw the new games come out and I was intrigued, thinking, oh, maybe I want to pick one of these up. But I think it's just enough that I, like, enough of a negative memory that I'm not yet, but I want to try it again.
I mean, for you, I would imagine Tyrants of the Underdark would be more your style of game, where it's just straight up deck build, put stuff on a board, tactically and strategically plan it out, you know, whereas Thunderstone Quest has a little bit more of the dungeon crawl feel, you know.
Right, like in Thunderstone Quest, I didn't get the feeling that my decisions mattered.
Gotcha.
Mattered
and what you can do are different to me. Like, I guess in some sense you can min-max on a turn, right? It's just what is the maximum thing I can do on this turn. It is neat in terms of, like, you commit to the village or the dungeon, and then you get to play your cards that might say draw cards, and you go to the village, and you draw cards, and you're like, oh, I drew the ones for the dungeon! Like, and that can be frustrating, but it's also just kind of part of your planning, which I kind of like. It's like where dice rolls come in, where they just kind of mitigate the difference. Like in Small World, where you can put your last token somewhere and hope to get that space by rolling the die. But you don't want to make that your entire turn. My entire turn is based around this die roll, you know? I still want to have an effective turn.
There's cooperative with the new expansion?
Yeah.
That's intriguing.
Yeah, that's going to be really hard to resist. That's all I'm going to say on that front. And we'll go from there as my budget for games is out right now. But we'll see where it turns to. So that's what I've been playing. What have you been playing lately?
Yeah, so I've been playing the new Roll for the Galaxy expansion, Rivalry. So, you know, again, that comes with a few modules. The first one, the trading economic type of game, played once. It has not come back out. I'm not sure if it will.
Yeah, it's strangely complex.
Yeah, and then the alien orb seems fun. I mean, I guess it was a little strange in what I was trying to do was remove the luck of the die. So I was trying to get, like, it's a customizable yellow alien die that you roll at the beginning of your turn, and it gives you a benefit. Typically, it's like, you know, you can go down these different tech trees progressing, like, on which side. So you can upgrade a face, and then it becomes something new that might help you in a phase or might do something special. But I've always, I guess maybe that's just the way I've been playing it. I've always been trying to, like, get all the faces to be something that kind of helps no matter what, instead of, like, having it be situational, which I feel like you could go either way. So, I don't know. It's fine. It adds more tiles, but it's an expensive one if you just want to add more tiles.
Right.
But I'm glad I've been playing it and it got the game back out, which is great. So it's easy to play. It's not easy to fit back in the box, though. So that might also be like a couple storage boxes.
And the new box isn't big enough to fit everything? Because it's kind of
smaller.
No,
it's a smaller box. So I'm trying to fit it all. I don't like going into the... Here's the base game with the expansion box, and now you have to keep them both stored together all the time. That's always frustrating to me. But, yeah, it's fun. I mean, I love Roll for the Galaxy, so I'm glad, Rachel and I have been playing that a bit. And it's so fast, too.
Yeah.
So.
Cool.
Yeah, so that's one. Planet from Blue Orange Games.
I want to play that so bad.
I'll bring that tabletop day. We'll have that out. And it's such an easy game to teach. We've got a bunch of copies in. I'm excited for it, though it always looks like you open it up and you think you're going to have four 12-sided dice to play with, but really you're just building up your planet with those. But it's a great, fast game. I played with my mom and my son, and it was just, well, my son wasn't completely playing, but it was still fun to try to do that. And, you know, it's Blue Orange is such a great game company. Yeah. So
cool. Nice. All right, let's do a couple reviews.
All right.
So we're going to start off, we're going to review Waters of Nereus. So this is a game from Dr. Finn's Games. It was a Kickstarter we have at the store. And I think you put it well one time where you were saying, like, Dr. Finn makes really, really good games, but Like, there's nothing that's like, oh, this is my top 10 game of the year. But they're always like, I had a great time playing those games. You know, for me, Biblios is the one that stands out. That's not as much for you. I really liked Herbaceous Sprouts from this year. I thought that one was really good, too. But it is funny when I go through, like, my favorite games of 2019 so far, I don't mention that one. Right. But it's, like, right there where when I see it, I want to take it out. I want to play it with people. He's kind of known for, like, thinky fillers. This one's a little bit more, you know, to it in terms of that. So, Waters of Nereus, you have boats, you're sailing around like an ocean, which is kind of a 5x5 grid or 4x5 grid.
5x5.
Yeah, I think it's a 5x5 grid. And there's like treasures, which are little colored crystals, you know, the classic ascension crystals or whatever. And they're in different colors and they're spread all out through the ocean. Every round you're putting new ones out. And then players... what you're trying to do is collect those treasures to fill up your various sections of your boat to score victory points and gain bonuses. And then the game's over 4 rounds. Whoever has the most victory points by filling those holds wins the game. So it's a victory point game. What you're doing on a turn is you put new crystals out or treasures out on the map. Then players simultaneously pick an action. There's like 7 different actions. So you pick a card from your hand. Flip and reveal, there's a first player token, and then you just kind of go around, and everybody does that action. And on the center board, there's, worker placement spots. And you can choose what action you want to do in terms of that. And there's different things like sail 4 spaces, or sail diagonally 2 spaces, or gain money, or pick up treasures from adjacent to you, all these kind of things that you can do, and players go around. You do that 4 times in a round, and then the round's over, and you play the next one. You kind of keep repeating. There's some science cards you can play that can give you end-game bonus points or in-game like bonuses, like, oh, just take a treasure from the bag or whatever, as you're putting more out. I think that's essentially it. There's a couple things on your player board, so you can upgrade your abilities so they work a little better. You can generally pay to increase an action, so... Even if I end up going last and I'm like, oh, you can only move 1 space, I can pay to move a 2nd space. And also on your board, you have a spot where you can kind of like pair up crystals to get gems. And gems are like wild crystals because you're trying to get a certain color. So like you might have a hold where you need a black, a purple, a red, and a white gem. And if you get those 4, you score the points. And then there's like a little treasure chest or something where you can store crystals basically in their natural increasing order because the bag contains like mostly white and way less black, which is supposed to be like the rarest treasure. So you kind of add those to the wheel. That's how the game plays out. We played the 2-player variant. So the 2-player variant, at first I was like, oh no, there's a dummy. But it was pretty simple. They flip a card and they just go first. And if they move their ship, there's a little mechanism to roll a die and they move around. Kind of random direction. So it was really easy to control that. It was not any overhead. But I did feel like the 2-player just didn't... It was just, I'm going to go this way and you go that way. And as long as they don't get in our way... There wasn't much. And there... Yeah, there wasn't, like, interaction. There wasn't, like... It even felt like there were 3 worker placement spaces and you only have 1, like, captain action. So I knew I was going to get it. It was just... At what level will I get it?
Right.
And I wasn't really racing you to get to tokens because it was like, well, if I don't get the yellow and the white here, I'll go get a yellow and a green and then use this action to pick up the white that's adjacent to them.
Right.
So you could always kind of do everything. At the end of the game, both of us filled all of our holds, which is basically the main goal of the game. So we had all those points. So the separation was just maybe an efficiency or cards drawn or...
Right.
Or... other actions we could take that scored points that... So that was the only separation. It was a few points, and I had a few more for whatever reason. You know, we'd have to play it back. So the 2-player wasn't very intriguing. It just kind of lent itself to, let's do this, let's do that, you know, all those kind of things. I definitely would play it with 3 and 4 to see where those level of interactions are. The one side of the board is a 2- and 3-player side. The other side is a 4-player. So it changes based on player count.
I think you always are guaranteed an action for each card that you... Right. Or each thing you pick, right?
Yeah, so in 4-player, there's 4. I feel like that's probably where like I wouldn't really call it worker placement. Because, yeah, I'm choosing an action, but I never get locked out.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, the one thing was always, like, because it alternated who was going to use their activation first, right? So you could try to, like, that was kind of neat to manipulate or try to figure out, like, okay, this like, you need to really do this to get this highest benefit first. So maybe I just avoid it and do a secondary thing first to get a better benefit right. there and do the other one once you're out of that card. There was some to that back and forth, but yeah, it was a little bit like, you know, oh, that like it didn't really feel like it was this huge
yeah
decision to be made.
I did, like, we were talking about that a little bit after we played it and then you left, and I did think, because we had both mentioned that it felt like, well, you just need to do the two sailing actions every turn. But what you're saying made me think, like, maybe you need to save the sailing actions, because I don't really need to move four. I'd be happy to move two, and two's way down the line. So I'll let you go at four, you know, or three, and I'll take the best of these other actions, which felt a little more nebulous, like, oh, I'll just get coins.
Right.
Or I'll just get points. But those could give me options. But, again, that idea that I filled all the holds just felt a little unsatisfied. Like, I wanted at least to be a struggle to fill those and not necessarily do that.
I think we were also, like, I was always trying to, like, maybe it was just the way we were playing. I never really looked at the colors as, like, a huge determining factor to moving, unless I was trying to fill a specific hold.
Gotcha.
I wasn't, like, looking at rarity and saying, oh, I need to get this one first. I was mostly looking at the quantity of
Okay. And I was looking at rarity for sure.
Okay.
I filled the most rare ones first
and just
while
they were still
out on the board
ones.
And then figured the less rare stuff would still be around.
Okay.
Which may have played, because we were doing those kind of opposite focuses, they're not really strategies, it may have lent us both to have that, because I grabbed the rare stuff and then...
You were also grabbing the larger quantities of
right, I was not going for somewhere there was one of a certain...
Like one black one versus three white ones. Definitely like you'd still that. Probably get the three white ones, right? Maybe? It always felt like it was like, oh, you know, just try to like... If you can get those large quantities so you can fill everything, maybe that's just how we were playing it, like you were saying. But
yeah,
but it was neat. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't one that I was itching to get right back out. But I would like to see it hit the table again at some point soon.
And it will be at the Silk City Board Game Group
yeah.
with Jen, the board game librarian, and Dr. Finn himself, Steve, will be there teaching all of his games,
right?
Including this one, so people can check it out. I mean... The art is beautiful. It really is great. It's best soluble art, and it really is cool. That definitely wasn't a reason I wanted to play the game. You know, for me, it was just, this is really cool looking art. Fortunately, it didn't really work out for us, but there's so many others that are so good. So it's just how it goes. Cool. And then last up, we played Escape Plan. So this is the big... Vital Lacerda released this year. Eagle Griffin Games, you know, they do this super deluxe thing. They did Lisboa, The Gallerist, Venhos. Escape Plan on Mars was on Kickstarter a little while ago. And this is the release from this year. So Escape Plan is a game where you are all robbing a bank in a city and something goes slightly wrong. So you all kind of run to safe houses and now you have your share of the loot and you have things stashed around town. And you've got 3 days, which is three rounds, to gather up your money and various things and then get out of the city on the third day and escape. And then whoever kind of visits the most locations to pick up their money or make connections and gets out, whoever has the most money at the end from doing that wins the game. Definitely on the Vital Lacerda side, it's on the lighter end. So I would definitely put it akin more to a medium weight Euro. It's neat because it's very thematic in terms of what you're doing. Basically, these 3 days have like phases in them, and you're generally taking three actions going around the table. And then if you have bonus actions, you can do like a fourth and fifth action. And it's like morning, day, afternoon, evening, night, or something like that are those phases. And you're just picking to move a few tiles. What's interesting is these new tiles, these kind of giant hexagons come out on the board, but they have various colors that are terrain, and they touch terrain from others, and that creates a space. So all the parks that are touching each other create one giant space, which kind of have to wrap your head around. And then there are policemen. There's like city, county, and state police that are on the tiles.
Oh, they have themes?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And as you exit a tile, not a location, you have to deal with the police, which is usually you take a damage, but you have all sorts of items you can purchase to get shot at or whatever. I don't know, absorb damage in terms of that. You can't die, so you just like lose money by getting shot, which is interesting. And you can visit all sorts of locations and do all sorts of things. You can find keys in safe houses and take them to places where you can open up lock boxes where you stash money, and you can visit the gym where you made a deal with the person there to hold on your money, all these kind of things that are happening. But it essentially plays out to three actions per round with a chance for bonus actions. You gather contacts, which are cards that give you like bonus actions. Mm-hmm. And you play over three phases. So you really get nine actions and then any bonuses and got to get out. Yeah. The tricky part is on the last day, the first person to escape. Oh, I guess we should mention that. There are three escape routes, and each round you flip two cards from a deck that block the routes. So there's two ones, two twos, two threes, and when you draw two of a number, that way is blocked. You will not be able to exit that way. There are only five cards. You remove one from the game. So the last round you flip that fifth card, and you figure out, oh, this is the one that's not blocked.
Right.
Which is kind of an interesting tack on. I don't know that it was like super necessary. How we built the board, you could usually get there, but not always. So I can leave that. On the last day, the first person to escape, it's free. They're out, but they forfeit their remaining actions that round. The next player has to pay $5,000, and the third player has to pay $10,000. It changes because the game can be one to five players. So that money changes a little bit. So that ran into an issue for us because I did not have $10,000 by the time it was. And I only tried to get out on my second action, and I did not get it. Now, right. I was last in the round, which led to some disgruntledness for me. Like, it was fine, but it was frustrating. It was just like, nothing yeah. I can do. I just can't, you can't gather money in the game.
Right. I feel like point. In the heat of the moment, it didn't feel like you would been able to finish the game, right? Like, yeah, I guess you didn't get to finish it, in a sense.
Yeah, you just get 0 points or capture, which, again, thematically, it makes sense. Like, you got caught by the police. Right. You couldn't get out, which is fine, but it just felt weird. It kind of playing a thematic Euro,
right?
And then being told you score 0 points because, you know, an alligator swallowed you on a random card draw or whatever. I mean, obviously, there's interaction with their players.
And then you went down this whole rabbit trail of like, okay, if I do this, to do this, to do this, to do this, to do this.
I
know. All right, now I get it. Oh, but I can't pay for the first thing that I was, you know, yeah. Which, you know, it was intriguing. Like, it was fun to just kind of sit down. And obviously, we were just learning it as we were playing in some ways. Like, you kind of had the rule book presented to you, and you were told, learn this so we can play.
Right, right.
So in some ways, it made it a little more difficult to try to, yeah. You know, like, I feel like there might have
worrying
been
about getting all the a thing or two. Right, yeah. Not what the big picture is.
But it was definitely like one of those, once you kind of get that full picture, I think that fleshes it out a little bit more, so you know, like, what you're actually trying to accomplish over the course of the game. And I feel like all of us came away with something that we could have done differently, which was good. And that kind of leads to it being at least having a little bit more staying power than just something that's one and done. Like, I feel like I'm going to play this again.
Yeah.
So that's good. I mean, I don't know. I guess I'm trying to think. Like, I really, like, Kanban has always kind of been that one that I've really enjoyed. I need to. Like, Lisboa was fun, too. And the other ones are kind of, like, varying degrees. I haven't played Vinhos yet.
I adore Lisboa. I just think it's amazing. I mean, again, compared to some of those Vital Lacerda games that are out there, this one is definitely a medium weight game where I think all the others would qualify as heavy, no matter how simple the structure of the game is. The decisions and the length tend to lead themselves to being heavy games.
This is like turning Colt Express into a
heavy
Euro.
So this, I mean, production-wise, it's gorgeous, you know, with the Kickstarter stuff, which we will have when we get our backing.
What do you mean?
Did we back this for the store?
What?
Escape Plan?
Yeah, we got, that was one of the...
Oh, Oh, we have it.
Yeah, we have it.
We
at
have
the, shop.
The escape pin. I'm sorry. I thought it was still coming.
Oh, okay.
So we have these there. So we have like the Kickstarter component of, I mean, you've got meeples and you've got tokens and you've got tiles and all this stuff. So I mean, that production is great. I think thematically this will bring like thematic gamers in who like strategy and theme. You know, it's like, oh cool, I'm escaping a city and this, that, and the other thing. So I think that's really neat. I think for me, at the end of the day, it was like you said, I would totally play this tabletop day. Somebody wants to learn it, I could teach it now, I would play that. I don't think it's something I'm dying to bring out. I know it sounds like I'm super grumpy about getting 0 points. I don't think that was it. It felt like there were 9 actions, and they were a little bit nebulous to me. This one felt like my decisions didn't really matter a ton.
Right.
And
well, I mean, it's also like there's a lot of stuff goes into it. Like, there's a lot of setup. There's a lot of, like, you know, just all that stuff that goes into it. And at the end of the game, it doesn't feel like you've done very much. At least I didn't, you know, I didn't feel that way. Because those 9 actions go by pretty quickly. And some of them are kind of, you know, on rails, at least to start, in my mind. Because there aren't as many spaces to go to. And you have, you know, a handful of spots that you actually want to go to. But, you know, it was definitely one that, you know, like, I'm glad I'd wanted to play it. My expectations were probably a little high for it because it just looks amazing. You know, like this great, like, you know, the best game of all time. You know, like one of those sort of discussions for it. But then you sit down and play it and it was fun, but I don't know where it stands yet.
Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that there's like a gamer for this space. I mean, Scythe is the one that comes to mind, where, like, Scythe to me is a Euro that then has fighting and other things to kind of bring like a dudes on the map crowd in, right? Mm-hmm. In terms of all that. And this feels like that type of game to me. Like, ooh, I really like the idea of escaping. I was just watching the Ocean's, you know, 11 movies or whatever. Like, it kind of gives you that feel or whatever. And, ooh, I want to try to do this. And I work these things out. And it's got strategy. There's no doubt there's strategy in this game. Right. It's a Vital game. But for me, just from that straight, like, your decisions matter, and this is what you do, and this is how you maximize, you know, it wasn't quite there for me. So, there we go. That's what we're playing. So I hope to play some really, really, really exciting games on Tabletop Day, like Magnestorm and Wingspan. Those are great games from this year. But these ones were good, too, and definitely want to check them out. Waters of Nereus, some Escape Plan, just not really for me. I think that's it. We got stuff to do. So I shall see you, my friend,
at
Tabletop Day. And then we'll post recap, or I will, or we'll recap while we're there. I don't know. I may just pull you aside for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
One of those things.
I mean, at that
pull
point.
Pull various people aside. I'll try to catch you at the right time.
Yeah.
And we'll make a recap episode like that. And then maybe we'll get a chance to kind of, if we got to play a whole bunch that we want to talk about, we'll do that kind of separately. So there. And I think Kathy's going to make an appearance. She's not sure that she will, but I know that there's people who have played with her the last 2 or 3 years that she's come and would enjoy playing with her again.
Yeah, so it'll be a good time.
I think she wants to attempt to make an appearance. So we'll see where it goes from there. That's it for episode 125 of the Portal Gaming Podcast. I can do this all day, and I'm going to, on International Tabletop Day, June 1st. But until next time, I am your host, The Brand.
And I'm your co-host, Brian.
And we hope you step to the board. Literally.